All this week, we've heard from design-savvy people in Atlanta participating in Modern Atlanta, which finishes up this weekend. Now we hear from the brains behind the Design Week Smorgasbord. Elaine DeLeo and Bernard McCoy founded Modern Atlanta 9 years ago. It started small, a bunch of design-minded people meeting at coffee shops to talk ideas and creativity. Now it's a week and a half of architecture tours, an international design expo, and talks on anything from transportation to fashion. For Modern Atlanta, or MA as it's abbreviated, modern design is broad. Cars, clothes, lamps, film, homes, and more. They joined producer Gabby Watts to talk about who they select to feature in their expos and talks when design means so much.
You have design, you have art. Years ago, there was a strict divide. Now, because of the desirability of both, design is, in some senses, you can consider it as being art, and vice versa. But there's one thing about design that's unique is it always has this idea of function to it. But for it to last, it has to be desirable. It has to have an emotional attachment to one in the first place and then to hold on to it. So in terms of getting in, there is a process where you have to scrutinize what the young designer is about. For MA, we're looking at a few factors in a designer. If they are passionate about what they do, if they are able to create something that has meaning and can last, we'll invite them to come showcase their work. And in many cases, we understand that they haven't done it before. So there's this education about what it is to showcase. It is a business, and they have to understand, you know, to be ill-prepared is not something that I'm particularly interested in. So my job is to sort of help them understand not just the aesthetic, but also the business side, because we want them to be successful.
I think, this year we've collaborated with IDSA, which is the Industrial Design Society of America, and they have brought us in a number of their members who are actually doing great work here in Georgia. And so, you know, it's really a discovery process for us. I mean, it just depends on, you know, who we're talking to at the moment and who comes to us in some cases, whereas where Bernard is going to a lot of the design fairs, and I've been going to the U.S.-based fairs. Sometimes you'll just meet someone, and they may be young, they could be older, but as long as it's great design and there's a thoughtfulness and a good process to it, I think we're open to showcasing a lot of different areas.
We're open to anything, whether it be architecture, whether it be photography, whether it be interior design, whether it be product design. It's all inclusive in what we do.
I guess the fundamental question for me is, design is human is kind of like the tag that you have for it. So what was it that maybe was inhuman about design, or what was it like, why are you sort of focusing on this element of humanity to talk about what it is to be a modern designer, I suppose?
Design has never been inhuman. It's just how people interpret what design is based on your environment. If you're in London, design is very human, always has been. If you're in Milan, it's very human, always has been. If you're in New York, it's human, always has been. Atlanta, we drive in cars, we don't walk. There's a certain void that's missing, so we're not as in tune to what's around us in terms of how design might impact us on a regular basis, improve our quality of life. So it's that awareness that we tend to focus on. And also, I think that's where all the opportunity is. If we can demonstrate a certain feel for what design can offer and how we can benefit from it, people will start to respond to that and appreciate it and get curious more about what design can do for them.
Just to add on to that a little bit is that we want design to be accessible to everyone. You know, it shouldn't just be a luxury for people. And, you know, a lot of people assume that good design is expensive or it's not something that's attainable, but that is not the case. And we like to focus in on the people behind the design. We love storytelling. I mean, a big part of our events are people talking about their backgrounds, how they came up with their design, their career paths. And I think when you start to tell a story about something, that gets people engaged and more interested in learning about it.
How much does a design and what you see on the from the day to day, how much does that inform then like who you are? Because I think that's also, you know, part of this design is human. You know, what is it about design that is human in itself?
I think most modern architecture does kind of strip away the decoration from a structure. There's a lot more attention paid to materials and the energy efficiency of a home and how the light's hitting it one part of the day and how much warmth will that bring in different months, that kind of thing. So I would say that, yes, modernism does kind of take an approach of less is more in some ways. And I think it does consider the human aspect more. I mean, as someone that lives here in the city, it saddens me sometimes to see, you know, a beautiful 50s modern ranch being torn down and then replaced with a structure that's maybe almost three times the size, that's going to utilize three times the energy and have to have rooms filled with furniture that may not or may never ever be used. So I think from a humanist side, it's more about what do we really need, how do we use it, and how do we feel about it. And that to me is what excites me about modern design.
I'm a huge fan of Dutch design. I'm a huge fan of Scandinavian design. And it has to do with simplicity and minimalism. It has to do with focusing more on the form, function. That determines what design, what that overall design will be. It's an aesthetic. It's also a way of looking at the world when you strip things down to what's really needed. You don't waste. You don't decorate, and it becomes a mindset, and you start to create culture because now everyone's on that same page in their own way of looking at design. There's some common threads where you're looking not to waste, and you're looking at how you can make things better. The humanity of design philosophically has to do with emotions, and emotions can drive you wanting to hold on to something longer. It can drive how thoughtful you are about other people, how you are concerned about the environment. It's all an emotional attachment. And I think that given the right tools, designers are very clever at finding ways to accomplish that. You know, that's what they do, you know. But they need the support and I guess the right types, right kinds of visionaries who understand that and who can give them the opportunities to do what they do best.
And so I was reading one article on your website about sort of like up and coming Atlanta. And I think that's kind of the case for a lot of things in Atlanta in the arts world. Where is Atlanta in terms of design? You know, where does it fit within the U.S. landscape of like strong designers? And what is it that's going on here that's interesting, that makes it worthy of investigation?
I see Atlanta almost like New York was in the 70s in some way. You know, it's really finding its footing. And even in the arts community, I mean, you're starting to see, I think, a much larger opportunity for artists to come to Atlanta and make their mark. And that's a great thing. I mean, Atlanta still is kind of a greenfield opportunity for anyone in the arts or in design. So we really believe that, you know, what we're offering brands and we're offering individual designers as a platform to showcase their work and their stories. And so I think, you know, even though the city is not really set up to support a lot of that, venue-wise, you know, if you go to, and Bernard can add to this, but if you go to New York or London, there are many venues set up to host cultural and arts events. We really don't have much of that here in the city.
We haven't even begun to tap into what design can offer the city in terms of growing the economy, becoming a city that's based on creative knowledge in all these different areas. So there's a huge opportunity to just look at design in a different way and to embrace it, and the city get behind it and create the that infrastructure around the idea of what design is, really start to explore and most important, do design. But it can't be design that's watered down. It has to be design that actually teaches and inspires, you know. And I think, again, Atlanta has a great window of opportunity right now. We've seen a growth in the city, architecture alone, especially for residential. When we first started doing the architecture tour, we were biting to find homes that were available. They were, you know, being built, and there weren't many back in 2007. And fast forward, since we started, every year there's been an abundance of new homes being built, and there's homes being built now that aren't even on the tour. So it's really changed a lot. The media wasn't even reporting on contemporary. And now they're knocking on our door to get into the week in terms of getting content, you know. So it's been a huge change. It's just a good opportunity for good design now.
What are some like very obvious examples in our city that could be improved by having more of a design focus?
We're actually doing an event at the Center for Civil and Human Rights this year with Susan Zanassi, who's the editor-in-chief and publisher of Metropolis. And the talk is on mass transportation in the city and the state. And I think that in itself is going to be an interesting conversation because, you know, you look at the streetcar, which can be a wonderful thing, but, you know, there are some issues with it already. You're starting to hear people say some things, some negative comments. So I would say mass transportation, public infrastructure is one of those areas that probably can be helped a lot with design.
In my perfect world, I would love for the city to tap into MA's expertise and allow us to transform the city's infrastructure and think of things like wayfinding, signage, things that will help people navigate the city. There's no one thing. I think it's an overall plan to take the city forward and look at every aspect of the city, even from things like license plates. What would design do? We do know that when you have talent involved in problem solving, it creates other opportunities that are residual. And you can imagine a great design for a license plate could attract media attention from other places because there's such a strong concept behind it. And now you start to see people looking at Atlanta as, again, a city of creative knowledge.
There's a lot of, in Reynolds Town in Atlanta, they don't have the same kind of like historic districting as Cabbage Town. And so in Reynolds Town, you'll see all of these like mammoth, boxy, modern homes, you know, springing up in the middle. And I mean, that's also the case in Morningside. It's like a shock in the landscape. And I do, you know, hear people being like, why is this here? It doesn't seem to fit in with the neighborhood as much. How do you try to dispel, you know, the notions of like, oh, this is this weird, like, you know, eyesore in the neighborhood, you know?
There's good design and there's bad design in every style of architecture. And I think, you know, even in Atlanta, which doesn't have a ton of contemporary or modern architecture, you're going to see that. Atlanta is more of a traditional town. So there are more people moving here from international locations. Mercedes is moving here. We have a Porsche here. And those people that are coming in are probably wanting a more modern, contemporary aesthetic in their homes, and they can afford homes in Morningside. So, you know, I think you'll see more of that happening. But I think a good architect will know how to fit a home into a neighborhood that's already established like that and do a nice job of it. I mean, one of the homes on the tour this year is done by Buildings, and it's actually an addition on the back of a Craftsman-style house. So from the front, you see a very traditional-looking Atlanta structure, but on the back, it's this very modern glass structure. So I think it has a lot to do with, you know, are the architects considerate of, you know, the vernacular of the area and paying attention to that?
The box houses, that's strictly driven by an architect's, and maybe in some instances, the client's vision for what they, how they see modern. If you look at our publication, especially in the international architecture section, you probably won't see box houses. You'll see other ideas, where it be the A-frame that we all are familiar with, but it's done in a certain way that's strong architecture. And that shows another idea around what architecture is that may be appealing for someone who's more traditional because they reference certain details that they're familiar with. I would love to see a much more diverse offering in terms of what's considered to be contemporary, you know, not just the box shape. That contrast that you talked about, that's important. We no longer make Model Ts. That's for a reason. You can't do architecture the same way generation after generation. There's no progression. You don't see how the city has changed its landscape, its urban landscape. If you go to, say, London, for example, you'll see the London Bridge, but you also see some amazing new architecture that's right next to it that's mammoth in scale, but also very unique. But the key is it's very strong and very bold, and it teaches. And you see how one period, how things have changed century after century. And that's really amazing when we're gone and people who inhabit that city will see that and what's new in the future. You need that contrast. It tells a story about a city. And once you start to deny that because of holding on to tradition in that way, you're not doing the city any justice. You're not doing these people any justice. There's no possession in terms of ideas because we're trying to latch on to something that's in the past. And to me, that's not really healthy.
We heard from Elaine DeLeo and Bernard McCoy, the founders of Modern Atlanta. MA is wrapping up this weekend with events through Sunday. For more on this story and to see the rest of our Modern Atlanta stories, visit our website, wabe.org/citylights.